You have year-end goals. Constant Contact has what it takes to help you meet them faster. Sell more, raise more, and build real relationships with your audience with Constant Contact's digital marketing tools. Put the go in all your 2024 goals with email, social, SMS, and customized marketing campaigns built for you in just a few clicks. Now through December 4th, get 40% off any Constant Contact marketing plan for 3 months. Ready, set, go to ConstantContact.com and get started today.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right. Happy Tuesday morning to you. Welcome in. You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show in here alongside Kim St. Ange and Carl Middleman and Sue Thomas, getting ready to get you to work in case there are any problems out there this morning. Shout out to the Mark Reardon Show. Mike Elam had me on as a guest yesterday. He's filling in for Reardon. I guess these afternoon people think it's vacation time already. Is it Thanksgiving yet?
No, but it does. When you start a week like this that's short, you just are very aware of it.
Not until Thursday.
But today is our Thursday.
So we're working, and they're not. So anyway, Mike Elam was filling in for Reardon yesterday, wherever he's off to. And they had me on to talk about the ATF raffle, which I appreciated. Sue Thomas brought up the Santa, the porch Santa. So I was able to pitch that idea again that if we get the highest bidder, we'll get the hard plastic Santa mm-hmm. that used to sit on my front porch that my wife doesn't like anymore.
Have you had more people express interest?
A few. Well, at least one who knows me directly texted me with a receipt of her donation. So just to see if she's in the running. So we'll see.
So he is a hot commodity.
hot enough, but I'm hoping that it boosts donations for Responder Rescue. We're going to be picking the winner of that on Wednesday afternoon about 12:30 out at the Range St. Louis West. So you still have plenty of time to get online, buy a ticket or two. Well, you're going to have to buy at least 10 because they're only $1 a piece. Come on, folks. All the money's going to a great charity. And you might win fabulous prizes, thousands of dollars worth of prizes in alcohol, tobacco, or firearms. So that's fine. We find out about that. We've named this the ATF raffle 3 years ago. And now my friend Eric Burleson, who's going to join us tomorrow morning, the congressman, is going to join us tomorrow morning, is going to propose abolishing the ATF. So that makes me very happy, right? We should probably make that part of 2A Tuesday today, but I didn't get to him in time. So we're going to get him on tomorrow morning talking about his proposal to end the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms.
Well, you'll just have to come up with a new name then if that happens.
They will. Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll still call it that. I've always thought it was a better name for a convenience store than a government agency. So I'm sticking with that.
That would be a good name for a store.
It would, wouldn't it? Come to the convenience store, the ATF convenience store. Pick up guns, something to drink, something to smoke. That'll be fine. Speaking of which, I do have a little bone to pick, right? So there are these vape places all over the place now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Call themselves smoke shops. So I'm on the way to go duck hunting yesterday. I got invited out to go duck hunting. And I thought on the way over there, since the guy was nice enough to invite us, I would stop and pick up a couple of cigars in case he wanted a cigar. And I couldn't find any. And I Google searched it on my phone, my maps, and said, you know, cigar stores near me out in O'Fallon. And there are plenty of them. Plenty of these vape places. And when you go in there, they don't have any cigars. Why would you call yourself a tobacco shop if you don't have any cigars?
So it's just the vape stuff?
They're selling vape stuff. They're selling that, low-level THC stuff that's not really marijuana, but has some trace of it in there. And incense. And, I mean, we used to call it a head shop.
I am surprised about that. You'd think they'd want to capitalize on the customer potentially wanting to vape and to smoke a cigar, right? Like,
I know.
It seems like one goes with the other.
You would think, but I finally found one place where I could actually buy a cigar. It took me like four stops, but I'm done complaining.
I hope that was a good cigar then.
Yeah, it was pretty good, actually, believe it or not. They were fresh because, you know why? They had just started selling cigars, and they had a brand new humidor, and they only got the cigar shipment in, like, I don't know, the end of last week. So they were nice and fresh, and
good.
There you go. And then that's the deal. And then this morning my mouth smells, tastes like an ashtray. But, you know, that's the price you pay. All right.
That's the price Michelle, your wife, pays, really.
Yeah, that's potentially true. Maybe that's why she didn't like the Santa Claus anymore. I just don't know. All right, coming up, we're going to talk to Nicolay Ambrose a little later about you've got mayors like the guy in Denver who's wanting to get in arguments with Tom Homan. Homan's threatening to lock him up already. And at the same time, more murders and rapes happening across the country at the hands of illegal aliens. So what's really the argument here? We're going to talk to Nicolay Ambrose about that coming up. John Lamping is going to join us as well, former Missouri senator. We're going to get to Todd Pyro a little later. We're going to talk about the Francis Howell bathroom policy or lack thereof with one of the school board members this morning in the 8 o'clock hour. And you're going to meet one of the people that Responder Rescue has helped immensely, a police officer who had to give up her job because of a problem with her jaw, and it was Responder Rescue who stepped in and helped pay for her quite expensive surgery to get that fixed. Stuff insurance wouldn't cover for some reason, and we're going to interview her this morning in the 8 o'clock hour to kind of drive home the importance of what Responder Rescue does. All right, Carl's pointing at the board, which means I need to get to our top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
The Justice Department Special Counsel Jack Smith just filed a motion to dismiss the federal criminal case against the president-elect.
Yes, yes, and let us please pause for just a moment and say goodbye to lawfare. Lawfare is coming to a grinding halt, and Jack Smith is probably a sad character this morning.
Well, this is what we expected. I wrote over a year ago that there was a good chance Jack Smith would never see the inside of a courtroom for a trial in this case.
Yeah, thank you. Jonathan Turley said, guess what? I called that. I didn't think that was going to happen, regardless of what happened in the election. But still, I'm glad Professor Turley was right and Jack Smith was wrong.
And it just further solidifies the fact that the lockdowns, the shutdowns, and the remote learning was one of the worst events that have happened in our country, especially to our children.
It's true. And you know what? You know who that was?
That's the new Surgeon General pick.
I know. You were saying you didn't like her, but she's now complaining about the lockdowns and the shutdowns and what happened to our kids. I'll let you listen to that full interview coming up here.
A child who is headed home, and they did nothing wrong. If you saw something, please call us, because we need your help.
Yeah, that is part of the story the local news media covered last night on this kid from CBC High School shot by some jackass driving down I-55 who thought it would be funny to stick a gun out the window and shoot into oncoming traffic. That's exactly probably what happened.
That would be my assumption, unless there was a car that somehow they were targeting. Like, do you remember, this is back when I was working at Channel 4, and so that would have been like 4 years ago maybe, and there was a woman driving on 170, not I-70, 170, and police believe there was a gun battle between two cars. She happened to get caught in the middle of it, shot in the head, and killed.
I do remember that.
So somehow, maybe they were trying to target a car, but the odds of you going on the interstate at 70 miles an hour and knowing that the other car you were trying to target was going to be passing you would be slim.
So I think the more likely scenario then would be that there were two cars going south on 55 that were fighting with each other.
Could have been
one fired
rage,
at the other
maybe.
One, and it went across the median and hit a car coming the other direction.
Right, like road rage, wouldn't you say? Something
road
like that.
Road rage, or it could have been gang violence. Two gangs shooting at each other. They did find shell casings on the southbound side of I-55 near Loughborough there. They found shell casings.
But no driver.
But no driver. Yeah. And what a tragedy for this family. A fine 16-year-old young man, a student athlete. Play part of Cut 13 for us there, Carl, please.
You think about a child who is headed home, and they did nothing wrong. If you saw something, please call us, because we need your help.
St. Louis police need your help this evening as they search for the shooter or shooters who have left a 16-year-old boy's life in limbo tonight. This really terrible incident happened as Colin Brown was on the way home from a hockey game in South County. Colin is on CBC's hockey team, and there's been an outpouring of support from so many people.
Yeah, First Alert 4's Alexis Otto's live for us in South City tonight, hearing from some lending support to the teen and to his family, Alexis.
The senseless violence has shaken the tight-knit hockey community.
There's also a fundraiser for the family to help them during this difficult time.
Wow. Yeah, I my heart goes out to him. I just can't imagine what would cause somebody to do something like that. The criminal mind, the lack of awareness of, it's just like firing guns into the air at midnight on New Year's Eve. Mm-hmm. It's something that's gone on for years in this state, probably around the country for that matter. But that lead has to fall back to earth at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had many people get shot and wounded and injured by that nonsense. It's just. It's just very sad. All right, going to get to a quick break here. First, though, we need to get to our national anthem. Carl Middleman, who do we have?
Well, Mark, everyone's been talking about Wicked and Gladiator, so Ariana Grande is going to do our national anthem.
The theme that's sort of being talked about and considered goes beyond what the normal recess appointments idea would be, which is House and Senate both agreeing to recess. But this idea would be using a never-before-used provision of the Constitution where Trump could declare Congress to be in recess if the two chambers disagree about when to recess, which would essentially, to take the idea of the House agreeing to recess and the Senate not wanting to. Trump says, no, you two disagree, you're both in recess, and then recess appoint his cabinet, allowing him to bypass the Senate to appoint his controversial picks.
That is a young lady named Emily Brooks. I think she's like 21 years old. She works for The Hill. I don't know how old she is. I'm just kidding. She was on the Gordon Deal show there before us. Kim and I were listening to it on the way in. And here's how they introduced it. That Donald Trump was considering, what did he call it, Kim?
Was it unprecedented?
Oh, yeah. Donald Trump's considering taking unprecedented action to get his cabinet picks put in. So I said to Kim at the time, well, what's unprecedented about recess appointments? Because Barack Obama used recess appointments 32 times to get his cabinet and pick members, many of his, not only cabinet members, but 32 different people in his administration were appointed during recess appointments because the Republican Senate was fighting back on some of his nominees, as they tend to do in politics. So he went around them and he appointed them during the recess. And then they changed the law saying that you can only do that if both houses call a recess and it's for at the same time and it's for more than 10 days. And then a president can do that, right? Which means all Chuck Schumer would have to do is, I guess, fight the Senate going out on recess, and he could stymie President Trump, which the Republicans didn't have the option to do with Barack Obama. So I think it's what's interesting here is that they call it unprecedented, they call it controversial, but here's the key phrase out of what Emily Brooks just said. He might use a never-before-used constitutional provision. So in other words, nothing he's doing is unconstitutional. It's a constitutional provision that's just never been used before. But the president has the absolute authority to do what it says he can do, which is call both houses in recess. They just don't like it. This drives me insane. Yesterday, I brought in here a letter from 2010 signed by 132 House Democrats calling on Barack Obama to use recess appointments to install his cabinet. 132 endorsed recess appointments in the instance that the Republicans and the Senate wouldn't go along with his choices, and he instituted 32 of those. But if Donald Trump wants to do it, then it's controversial and it's unprecedented. And nobody in the media is pointing this out. Mm-hmm. I've listened to numerous interviews, even on Fox. I did hear one person on Fox one time say, but Barack Obama did the same thing.
Well, not even just Barack Obama. Bill Clinton also made recess appointments. Yes. George Bush. I mean, this is not anything new. Presidents on both sides, both Republican and Democratic, have made these recess appointments.
Yeah. Numerous times.
Many times.
And
yeah.
Apparently it's a never before used constitutional provision that Donald Trump is getting ready to use for the first time, where he's saying you're either going to do your job, and if you don't have a legal reason to prevent me from putting somebody in that job, I'm going to do it. If just because you've decided this is the hill you're going to die on, I'm going to circumvent you and I'm going to put this person in anyway. And will they do it? Probably. So they can try to win some brownie points in the midterm elections in 2 years by complaining about the unprecedented action taken by Donald Trump to try to win back the House or the Senate. You know that's what will happen. That's exactly what will happen. All right, coming up, we're going to get to Kim on a Whim. We'll be back in just a minute.
Kim on a Whim.
Just think about this for a second. When you're watching a particular sport, like let's say a baseball game, there are just certain things that can happen that just make it so exciting that people are going to be talking about the next day and perhaps make you want to watch another game.
Like, oh, absolutely.
You get a really cool home run or a grand slam. Like that's what people are really excited to see, right? And you have that in every single sport. Now basketball, what would you say people get excited about?
Slam dunks.
Okay, there yes. we go. Now, that obviously happens semi-often in the NBA, but it doesn't happen in the WNBA. And Shaquille O'Neal, our pal Shaq, he's doubling down on his earlier suggestion that the WNBA should have the rim lowered. They're at about 10 feet in both the NBA and the WNBA. Well, obviously, women are shorter than men, right? With the exception of like a couple women who might tower over.
Brittany Griner might be taller than a few.
How tall is she, by the way?
I don't know.
6'5"?
She's no. She's like 6'8" or 6'10".
Oh my gosh, I didn't realize she was that tall.
Yeah, go ahead.
So anyway, they're trying to accommodate that, and Shaq's point is basically, you know, you all want more viewership, you want more attention. And rightfully so. And fans love dunking. Like, that's just one of the things that people get excited about when you're watching a basketball game. And because the rim is so high, you can't really do that. There'd be very few women probably in the WNBA who would be able to do that. So his idea is if we make this one little change by slightly lowering the rim, maybe you guys can get more attention. People might be more interested in watching a WNBA game.
This will be controversial, but wouldn't that be lowering the standards, literally?
Well, that is kind of what Asia Wilson has argued. You remember Asia Wilson? She likes to take credit for all the success that the WNBA has had. But
right.
We all know, or you're in denial if you don't acknowledge this, that Caitlin Clark is the reason why the WNBA got so much attention this year. I'm sorry. Asia is a fantastic player. I have questions about her character, but as a player, she seems very talented. But that
Brittany Griner is 6'9".
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
See, I was right. I was right there. 6'8 to 6'10".
Oh, my gosh. I had no idea.
And,
like a dinosaur.
You're not seeing Caitlin Clark dunking.
No.
Well, and that's part of what you could argue, that obviously there was a lot of attention on the WNBA, despite the fact that Caitlin Clark is not dunking, but it was the three-pointer shots, right? That's what really drew people to want to watch her when she was playing at Iowa, and then those fans, myself included, followed her when she then went to play for the Indiana Fever. Well, Asia Wilson was talking on this show, I guess you'd call it a podcast, with some other NBA players about why she feels like they should not lower the rim in the WNBA.
One that we hear all the time, which is obviously just dumb, is the lowering the rim discussion. So at that point, are you even like, when you hear that, are you even giving that any
I want that.
What is it going to do?
Like, you guys, like, honestly, if you want it, like, what is it really it's going to do for us?
It wouldn't do that much, but...
Okay, well, then that could be, like, my off-season. I would much rather just gear my off-season to, like, okay, burden maxing it out. Like, let's get this, let's focus on this jump in. Versus lowering it, like, an inch. That could change all of our shots. Do y'all not understand that?
I mean, I get that, right? A lot of probably shooting is just muscle memory, and if you're lowering the rim a couple inches, maybe that could make a big difference. But you adjust to that. I don't know. I as a woman, I understand why someone like Asia Wilson wouldn't like the feeling of like, oh, you're having to lower the standards. You know, well, we can't handle the rim as it is right now at 10 feet, so you have to lower it for us. I get that. But at some point, and maybe this is a pride issue, you have to just almost swallow your pride and realize that this could attract more people if you're able to dunk. Like, I was reading this article, and they're talking about how in basically all sports, adjustments are made to account for the size and strength differences between men and women. So, for example, in volleyball, the net is shorter in the women's game than it is in the men's. In track and field, the women jump lower hurdles than the men's do. In fact, the ball apparently, and I didn't realize this, the ball is smaller and for lighter women in the WNBA. Yes. Than it is in the NBA. So there's already that change. And I guess just because that was already set in motion far before she ever played in the league, it doesn't bother her. But I guess this would. I don't know. I mean, I support it. I get why that's hard for women to be like, okay, we're going to lower the rim. I get it. But if they can get more attention and they can dunk, wouldn't that be cool? That would increase their salaries because the reason why they're not making what they believe they deserve is because there's not the interest that you have with the NBA.
I'm just not sure that's what's going to drive it. And I would agree with Asia at the YMCA league, when Easton gets a little older and you take him up there and put him in one of those little basketball leagues, they lower the rim to like 6 feet or something so the kids can have a chance of throwing the basketball up there and actually making it go in. Mm-hmm. And then at some point it's back at the regular height. If you change that in the WNBA, you'd have to change it in college, and then you'd have to change it in high school, because for any girl to have a chance to compete, they'd have to get used to shooting at a rim that was a couple of inches lower than where they had been shooting. And I think they could adapt to that eventually, but I think it would have an immediate impact of a lot of people's shots bouncing off the backboard because the rim would be too low. And I'm just not, and I know there might be a few more women at that point that could dunk the ball. I just don't know if that's the difference. A lot of women's basketball, I'm sorry, beat me over the head with a noodle, is boring. It's been, it doesn't have the same pace as men's basketball.
I agree with that.
And it just tends to not be as high scoring. And I don't know how else to put it. The height of the rim is not the reason the WNBA doesn't compete with the NBA. It's not the reason. And if Caitlin Clark gets run off tomorrow by this bunch of left wing progressive, you know, alphabet mafia people that run the WNBA, their ratings will decline right back to where they were.
Well, unfortunately, I don't think the WNBA will ever really be able to compete with the NBA. And I agree, the pace of the game is very different. It's not as aggressive, to your point, that it's not as high scoring. I mean, there's a number of factors that play into, I think, why the WNBA is just not as popular.
And we're all misogynists.
Also that. I forgot to mention that. Thank you for clarifying. But Do you not think that that could have some heightened level of interest for the game if girls were able to dunk? I'm not saying it's going to be some astronomical change. I don't know. I think I'm not saying I would be one to be like, oh, I really want to watch the WNBA now.
I wouldn't even start watching it just because somebody might occasionally get a, you know, instead of doing a layup, they're able to actually slam the ball on a fast break. I just don't know.
I guess I feel like it wouldn't hurt. Now, the only complicating thing that you mentioned would be, okay, well, you're right. Now you have to change it for college. Then you have to change it for high school.
Plus, you would completely screw up Caitlin Clark's shot because she's used to shooting it on a regulation size hoop.
No, she's so good, she'd figure it out.
Well, I mean, she might eventually figure it out, but it would impact scoring.
Well, I mean, that was Asia's point, is that, you know, you're gonna mess up with her shot, because she's saying we're all just kind of used to, we know exactly where it, you know, how tall it is, and so we've kind of all factored that in.
That would almost be like training, it's almost like suggesting that too many people in the NBA can dunk, so we should raise the height of the basket.
Well, let's do that. Let's make it like 15 feet.
And then
why don't we just give the girls like those little mini trampolines that I might get my son as a Christmas gift in a couple years?
Yeah.
And it's kind of like Space Jams. We'll and do then, it like, isn't that out of the movie Space Jam? Whatever
just make
it's called.
Just make it a little easier.
We need to do it like the Harlem. Is it the Harlem Globetrotters? Man, they are fun to watch. I've done live shots with them, and they are, I mean, they're fun.
Yeah. I still don't know if they're as good as their heyday. Were they with Metal Lark Lemon and all those guys, the originals? But it was
70s.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
Far before my time.
Yes. Yeah, I don't know. I just don't think. I think when you start changing those standards like that, I don't know if that's the answer. I just don't think so. Bill Maher had some interesting comments on that last night with Neil deGrasse Tyson was on with Bill Maher last night, and he basically just called this guy out and said, "Nothing you're talking about here is science." He was talking about the issue of men competing in women's sports. And this guy was actually trying to argue with him over that. We'll get to more on that for you coming up in just a couple minutes. Stay tuned. Yeah, so I mentioned this Bill Maher interview with Neil deGrasse Tyson, who, you know, considers himself a scientist, and he's pro-vax, and he thinks you should get every COVID vaccine that's ever been produced and all the boosters, and he's a big Dr. Fauci fan. And Bill Maher, who is a progressive liberal but seems to have more common sense than 99% of them, got into a pretty interesting argument with the guy yesterday about vaccines, about men playing in women's sports. This was part of it.
Yes, but that's after you've been through 99 other. I'm trying to put credit back to doctors, where our life expectancy is three times what it was 150 years ago. And everyone before 150 years ago,
lower than the rest
organic,
of
organic. And half of them died before they were 35.
Yeah, because
science matters.
Of course it does.
But sometimes you don't sound that way. That's why it worries me.
Well, actually, you're the guy. You're the guy who doesn't understand why the NBA team can't beat the Lakers. So I don't know. You know, you're supposed to be the scientist, and you couldn't even admit that. But and as far as medicine goes, I could talk to you this about all day. But again, we do have a party to get to.
Yeah, he's like, you're the guy who doesn't want to admit why a WNBA team can't beat the Lakers. Like, the guy just won't, he won't even accept the possibility that women, that men shouldn't be allowed to compete in women's sports, and that women should be able to compete against men straight up.
Mm-hmm.
That's this idiot right here, this Neil deGrasse Tyson. I'm sorry, I shouldn't call him an idiot. I'm sure he's well-read, but he's a pointy-headed liberal who doesn't understand common sense. Ask any of the women on the women's national soccer team, let them go out and play the junior level men's team, and they're going to get their rear end handed to them.
Yeah, I just saw New York Times article has, it's some San Jose State transgender volleyball player, and a judge has allowed that man to play with the women to compete. Ridiculous.
How does this happen? How is it a thing?
I don't understand. I'm so tired of women saying we support women, we back up women, women's rights.
Yeah.
And then they're the ones who want to allow men in our spaces and who want to allow men to compete with us. And I guess the problem is because they don't know how to define a woman. I mean, truly, when you ask them, they say, well, it's someone who has feminine, you know, characteristics. Well, what does that mean? Well, they just go and they talk in a circle. No, a woman is someone who has XX chromosomes, and you could argue female genitalia, although nowadays people are chopping things off and adding things. And
woo! Lola.
Jesus help us.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, but you know, in case you don't get it chopped off, you can go to Target and find something with some extra material.
You think they're going to put that back out next summer? Because
I don't know.
If they do, it will not be front and center like it was last year or the year before. I guess, gosh, that was probably 2 years ago when that happened.
I did see the story that said that a number of companies, I think maybe it was Walmart was the most recent one, is going to revise their their woke policies, their DEI and all that, that they've seen the light. Have they seen the light, or they just realize there's a new sheriff in town?
Yeah,
who's not going
the same
to put
thing.
Up with that crap. I mean, because they could get away with it under the Biden-Harris administration. They can't get away with it under the Trump administration. So it needs to change from the top down. The head of the Department of Defense needs to issue a directive to all branches of the military that we're not holding classes on how to respect pronouns. We're holding classes on how to meet and kill the enemy. Period. That's all that matters in the military. Mm-hmm. Period. I mean, the military is not a petri dish for social experiments. It's not that these naval academies that, you know, where you're getting basically you're getting your college degree along with your military training have been turned into no different than the UCLA Berkeley campus.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. That's just wrong.
I saw some video. I'm assuming this is real, although these days you have to question everything you see online. But it was this guy who, you know, was in his military uniform. I forget which branch. And then it shows him in drag.
That's who we have on the front lines.
The same people who are probably worried about making sure that their nail polish hasn't chipped. They're the ones who are defending our country.
If he, I'm assuming it's a he, you said in drag.
Yes.
Can fire a gun well. And keep it undercover while he's on the front lines. Okay. But that doesn't mean that you have to make everybody else pretend it's okay. That doesn't mean that, you know, they're going to go through and lecture. You can't give Joe or Josephine over here the side eye when he comes out dressed in a skirt, because that's discriminatory.
Well,
no, it isn't. That's weird.
I understand if you're a guy and you do drag on the side, although I do not support that. But if you are trans, I do not believe you should be in the military. I really don't. It's a distraction. It's confusion on, okay, you're going to be with the men or you're going to be with the women. I don't agree with that.
I don't know how often
zero distractions
happens
in the military. I bet you it's happening more now than we'd like to admit.
Yeah. I saw something circulating yesterday about some potential policy on that, but I'm not sure I believe it. That they're going to do that. We'll see what happens for sure. Coming up next hour, former Senator John Lamping, and we'll talk to Nicolae Ambrose about the sudden rash of illegal alien crime across the country.
Get more at 971talk.com.